Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Carolyn Coolidge, and she is author of Honor Your Spirit, Listen to Your Spirit, Find Your Purpose, and Walk Your Path. This book is about working with the universe to create your life purpose. Carolyn is an intuitive, psychotherapist, and healer who had spiritual experiences that made her open up spiritually in a deep way. She began to incorporate spirituality in healing others. Through triumph and tragedy, she learned to trust spirit's messages and synchronicities to open up her gifts and help others walk their path by trusting in their own intuition. Carolyn was trained at Columbia University in New York City as a clinical social worker and psychotherapist, and now works as a spiritual counselor and soul worker under the Universal Life Church in California. Carolyn has worked in corporate America, coaching executives on Wall Street for healthcare organizations, psychiatric clinics, both inpatient and outpatient, and economic research firm and a film company. For more information, you can visit her website, which is www.intuitivesoulhealing.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Carolyn to the show. Good day, Carolyn.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. And how about yourself?
I'm doing well. Just going over a little cold, but I think it's a throat chakra activation, but I'm doing okay.
That's one of those good, one of the good parts about knowing the chakras and how they affect the body, because it's like, okay, my body is telling me something, now I know what to do.
Exactly. So. I call them upgrades sometimes.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. So anyway, well, I usually like to start the show by having the guests kind of give a little bit about their journey and how they got to the point of doing what they are. And as I mentioned in the introduction, you know, there are kind of three major components to your life work, that being a psychotherapist, intuitive, and healer. So if you wouldn't mind, would you please share with the listeners a little bit about your journey and how these all kind of came into being and how they work together for you?
Absolutely, yes. So when I was studying at Columbia 20 years ago, 21 years ago, I was a psychotherapist, and I was into spirituality because I had a health crisis a couple of years before. So I got into, what's my purpose? Is God a real person, et cetera? So I was studying that stuff, and as I sat in front of clients, I started to see their auras. And as I went home to go to sleep, I would see ghosts. I'd wake up and see ghosts all the time. And I'm like, why in the world am I – I've never saw ghosts before in my life. I was about 27, and I would just wake up and see these ghosts just like, you know, shuffling across the floor and then like leaning over the bed, over my bed and looking at me, and it scared the hell out of me. So it really – and it kept happening every night. And I was in Midtown Manhattan, upper West Side Manhattan in Columbia, and at this apartment, and I said, why do I keep seeing these ghosts? And then one time I woke up and I felt this weight on me, and I heard these voices say, don't wake up, don't wake up. And I was like, what in the world? And I woke up and I felt this weight, and I pushed it off, and it was like ghosts, but I couldn't really see them. I could feel them. And I said, this is too scary. This is weird. So because of that, I felt like I was being haunted. I went to a psychic, and she's like, oh, a psychic healer. And she said, you're opening up to the spiritual world. And she goes, did you ask about God or the universe? I said, oh, yeah, I've been asking. And I've been doing angel workshops, like how to connect to your angels, because I was trying to protect myself. So I got this book on how to connect to your angels. So I was doing that. She goes, did you protect yourself? I was like, no, I didn't know how you're supposed to. She goes, oh, my God, you can't open up to the spiritual world without doing a protective, like, energy invocation. I said, oh, okay. So she taught me how to do it, surround myself with the archangels. And then after that, the ghost went away and that weight went away. I asked her, like, what was that weight? And she goes, those were disincarnated beings that are, like, in the earth plane. And she says, you're in Manhattan, New York. There's a lot of people who've kind of lost their way, a lot of ghosts, people who've died and kind of get stuck. And they see you opening up to the spiritual realm, to light. They think that's the light to go back home. I said, oh. And she goes, you have to protect your energy and, like, create a force field around you so that they don't bother you. So that's how I got into, and she said, and you're going to be doing this work. I said, no way. She goes, oh, yeah, you should have been, like, a psychic or a healer. And I said, really? No. And then I remember my mother had tons of, I know, and I was at Columbia, very conservative, studying to be a psychotherapist. So hearing voices or seeing beings makes you psychotic and straight trip to the loony bin. And I said, uh-huh. I said, this is probably not kosher there. And she's like, well, I think you're going to incorporate both. And back then I was like, no way. There wasn't all those shows on psychics and healers and Long Island Medium. I mean, there were maybe James von Prague was on television, but there wasn't that many people except for maybe Doreen Virtue or Judith Orloff. But they were, you know, had their own books and they were, you know, mainstream. So I was like, well, what am I, you know, going to do with this? So I kept, so she goes, well, why don't you ask the universe? So I just started developing this dialogue with the universe about, well, what am I supposed to do? And how am I supposed to, you know, incorporate spirituality and mental health and intuitive work? And I was walking around Manhattan, and what happens is that all these people used to come up to me, and they'd say, excuse me, ma'am, do you know where 63rd Street is? Sure. Do you know where Chinatown is? Sure. Do you know where the Upper East Side is, or, you know, the Empire State Building? And people came up, and 1 week and five people, then 10 people, then 15, then like 20 people. And every weekend were coming up to me, asking me questions. And then I was like, why are these people coming up to me? It was bizarre. And I kept asking out loud. I said, what am I supposed to be doing with spirituality and mental health? And then I was with my friend, and she said, oh, you know, you're asking, and then you're helping people find their direction. And it kind of clicked in my head that I asked the universe, what am I supposed to do? And I realized the universe was giving me a symbolic symbol of people coming up to me in streams asking for directions. After that happened, I got the answer. Nobody came up to me anymore. It was weird. So after that, I believed I was developing a dialogue with the universe. So here I was, a psychotherapist, becoming intuitive and listening to the intuitive messages of the universe, which I believe is God, and then incorporating, like, protecting my energy. I became a healer too. So that's how I incorporated, or the beginning stages of what I did.
Wow, I mean, that's, you know, that's quite interesting. I had my undergraduate work in psychology, and I know that, you know, had I started, you know, with the intuitive aspects and that kind of thing, it just wouldn't have gone over. this was way back in the day. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, one of the things I noticed, I think it was on your website, you know, is that really we talk about mind, bodies, and really you are actually all of those three modes incorporate that, you know, the psychotherapy of the mind, you know, the body with the healing, and the spirit with the intuitive aspects. So in one sense, you're kind of really taking, you know, that whole idea of the idea of wholeness, you know, to the next level. So now, when you started, you know, kind of opening up, and you know, you were kind of going through the training in the psychotherapist area, did you find that you when you were working with clients, you know, in the therapeutic realm, that the intuitive aspect kind of came in and then maybe altered or shifted your way of helping them, you know, from what may have been a more traditional therapeutic approach?
Absolutely, yes. And that's why eventually after 20 years of doing it, I incorporated my book, I wrote the book Honor Your Spirit, which is my spirit, you know, had me connecting to ghosts and seeing auras and feeling energy and, you know, picking up vibes about people, reading them, getting messages and visions about their souls. And here I am, a psychotherapist. So at the first, I was very closeted. I wouldn't tell anyone, you know, when I was at Columbia. I wouldn't say anything to anyone. I had two lives. It's like toggling between the spiritual world and the physical world. And I would just go along with the game, blah, 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 you know, and just kind of tell them different things and become a, you know, traditional therapist. But then one time a client came to me, and she was depressed. I think it was like 2 years post-grad, and she was very depressed, and it was after holidays, so most of the doctors left, psychiatrists, so I couldn't do a consult for meds, and she was planning to kill herself, and I was like, oh, no, what do I do? Now, as a licensed therapist in Manhattan, you're not supposed to touch clients, and you're not supposed to do, that's energy healing, you're not supposed to read them, because that's outside of the scope of practice. So here I am sitting there, and I'm like, how in the world am I supposed to help her? And every time I've done this work, I constantly ask Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, God, to help me. How do I be ethical and integrity, but still do this work? So she's saying, you know, this is my plan, this is this. I said, what do I do? So in my mind, I asked Spirit, and they said, send her a Reiki symbol. So because I was trained in Reiki but never used it, I sent her a symbol telepathically. So that means that you put a symbol in your mind and you send it and put it on the person's energy field. So I'm not touching her, and she didn't know what I was doing. So I just sent it to her, and as she's talking about her plan and how she's going to kill herself, how she's going to leave her stuff, she just stopped. She completely stopped talking. And she's like, what was that? And I said, what? She goes, I felt a wave of good energy coming towards me. What did you do? I said, I sent you a Reiki symbol. I know. And she said, oh, my God, I feel like this wave of love. And I feel, I don't know, she said, more centered. And then we were able to contract for safety. She was no longer suicidal. And that's how I knew I had to incorporate spirituality into mental health. Now, so that's one way I did that, and that's, it was almost like a wake-up call that I really saved her life, and she did a lot better, and then she started incorporating spirituality in herself. Another thing that happens, how I incorporate it, is sometimes I see people's aura. If they're really stuck and they're having a hard time, sometimes their soul will show me a color, and I'll see like a blue or green. And one woman one time when I was at a job that wasn't treating me well, and they thought I was doing such weird witchy work. They didn't know what I was doing. Because I was getting so many referrals and people were referring to me that they were like, what is she doing? So, and then they didn't like the fact that I wouldn't tell them. And then the woman was just mean and dark that I was working with. So this one woman, all of a sudden, I had this meeting where they're trying to write me up and saying I wasn't cooperating with treatment protocol and blah, blah, blah. It was just bullshit. So I saw this beautiful purple neon light around her, and it was enveloping her, and it was so beautiful. And we were doing traditional therapy. I said, what about God for you? How do you incorporate God? And she started to cry. She goes, I think about God every day, but my husband forbade me from doing this work, to going to church and taking my kids. But I think God could get me out of it. He said it was the devil's work. She's like born again. And I said, and the purple was the crown chakra. And it was that energy around her, her soul. And I said, I think you need to do that. She goes, I think I need too. I feel like this, again, this wave of good. And that was her soul. It was like, am I reading her? Her soul is giving me a message. And that, she said, it totally helped her. She never saw her again. I got a note saying I brought my kids back to, I think she was a Mormon actually, brought her back to God. And I'm doing the spirituality, and I feel a sense of peace. So that was the second. Again, I was asking the universe, dialoguing, how do I honor my spirit with this work? And they were showing me that I need to incorporate spirituality and intuition and healing within my work as a therapist. And I think partly what's happening is there's a spiritual crisis on the planet, and more older souls are being incarnated who are empaths, sensitive souls that feel and hear and see and are bringing us to be more sensitive on the planet. So a lot of my book talks about empaths and how I was an empath. I was a sensitive soul that would see ghosts and feel things off of people, and how these are forerunners for this change on the planet to bring more peace. the very beginning stages, to be kind to animals, to think about healthy eating, to think about good nutrition, you know. So it's like these empaths need to incorporate their spirituality, and that's why they're such sensitive souls. So bringing spirituality to mental health really helps them. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, you know, and those are you know, great examples of how when you personally ask for how to assist others, you know, in their highest good, you know, that you're kind of shown. Now, one of the things, you know, part of your book is called, the subtitle is Find Your Purpose. Now, mm-hmm. when you indicated that, you know, you had all these people coming up to you, you know, and it was like the aha symbolic, you know, helping people find direction. I've had many a show where I've had intuitive people on, and people will call in and ask questions. And so often, you know, it was, the question was about finding purpose, finding my purpose. I don't have a purpose. I feel lost, you know. You know, in the introduction, I had down that, you know, your book is about, you know, working with the universe to create your life purpose. So my question is, do we come to this incarnation, from your perspective, do we come to this incarnation with a life purpose, a set one, or is it one of those cases where we may have, you know, more than one purpose, and that, you know, as life unfolds, you know, we're directed to fulfill many purposes?
That's a great, great question. And that is a big part of my work here, I feel. As I was finding my purpose, I dialogued with the universe, and I have a class on that, how to dialogue with the universe. I found my purpose, and it was to help people find theirs. So it was like an answer within the answer. And I believe people have multiple purposes, absolutely. I think to clear karma, to help. I think there's group consciousness, group karma. I don't think karma is always negative. Everyone thinks, oh, my God, I did something bad, I'm going to pay for it. It's just clearing energy. We all make bad choices in this lives and past lives. We all make great choices. Earth is a school. And I opened my book saying, you're here for a reason. And we're all sent here from the divine, is what I believe, to fulfill our mission, and that is to help our soul and our spirit grow. And we grow through adversity, we grow through lessons, we grow through pain, we grow through joy. But that contrast between the dark and the light, you know, the male and the female, all the differences of races and cultures and genders, that helps us to look at things from different angles and to make choices. Are you going to be critical of this person because of their love choice? Are you going to be critical of them because of the texture of their hair or, you know, the kind of work that they do? Or are you going to embrace love? So there's that whole battle between love and fear. That's another choice, you know. And do I make decisions from love, you know, leading with compassion and tolerance, or from fear, leading with bigotry or hatred? So I believe everyone is given a purpose, and that purpose lies in their soul, is in their spirit. Where does their spirit lie? I feel it's inside of you, but it's around you. That's your aura field. But the quickest way to find your life purpose is in your heart. I believe our soul's mind lies in our heart. So the things we feel drawn to, called to, we think about all the time, we want to do, we have an awareness, things that come random to us, that's usually our purpose. But usually that calling, being like, I should help the homeless people, you know, or I should help kids that have a hard time. I'm really concerned about animals. That's our purpose. That's what we're here to do. And I believe that the universe will, if we dialogue with it and we honor our spirit, it will give us answers to how to create that and put that into play. So I create an acronym from the word spirit, which is in my book, and I say, what is the spirit and how does that help us find our purpose? First is synchronistic. Anytime you see a synchronicity, you know, that means that when I was walking down the street and I'd say, well, God, what am I here to do? And people come up to me, excuse me, do you know where 34th Street is? And then another person, that synchronicity only happened when I was asking, and was coming forward, and that was a sign. So S for spirit means synchronicity and sign, and spirit gave me this acronym, which works very well. So as I got a sign of a synchronicity, I knew it was my spirit talking to me. Then I feel like your synchronicity leads you to your number P, letter P, your purpose and passion. Whatever you're passionate about, that's your purpose. Whatever your purpose is, you'll become passionate about it. And you will be fed with your purpose and passion. It'll just come. I never had a hard time finding jobs working as a therapist, an intuitive, and a healer. I ended up asking the universe and ended up working at UCLA as a healer for 6 years. And I ended up on CNN, which helped, and that was free. Somebody put me on there. I think it was Judith Orloff asked me to be part of it. She wrote a book about empaths recently. So I think it's Survival Guide to Empaths. So that was a purpose. That was my passion to be of service. And then my purpose was to heal. So that CNN video helped my practice for years without even having to pay a dime. So many people, we want to manipulate or do this marketing and that. And the universe has our plan in place. We are a seed that comes to earth with a plan in our hearts. All we got to do is listen to that. So that's P, purpose and passion. I is intuitive and inspirational. Anything that inspires you is part of your purpose. Anything that you feel intuitive about, I'm really good at people. I can figure them out. I can see their auras. That's part of your purpose and their passion. The language of spirit is intuition. The more you meditate, you enhance it. I'm also a meditation teacher, mindfulness at a major HMO. I teach 3 classes on that. And that just came upon me because it was part of my purpose. So that's why mindfulness is getting so big in the society. It's because it helps to enhance your spirit, which holds your passion and your purpose. When people do their purpose and passion, they start clearing their karma naturally because that's part of the deal. And then you don't want to come back to earth. It's not like you have to. You just feel like, I think I'm done here.
Right.
You know, like,
I'm ready for
like
that one.
Right. Just like when you're done with people or relationships, you're like, yeah, I'm good. Uh-huh. I'm done. I think you're going to feel that way about Earth after you do everything you're supposed to do. And you're, right. The seed of your spirit holds that in. So that's I, inspirational and intuitive. And anything that's intuitive, that's a whole other story because that's the language of spirit. You know, dreams, meditation, synchronicities, aha moments, chills, goosebumps, heavy stomach, headaches around people you don't like. That's all part of your intuition. And then R is rejuvenating and renewing. Your spirit always needs to be renewed, so you got to take care of it. This is an instrument. And you have to renew it, and that's through meditation or saging. I highly recommend saging your energy field, which is your spirit, so it can breathe. Essential oils, which are earth, which help earth oils like flowers. So that will really help it. So, and renew it by, you know, renewing your life, making changes. Your spirit is creative. It likes to create. So when people think, oh, I'm in a job, I'm going to stay there, you got to forget that kind of lifetime. Those lifetimes are leaving because spirit likes to create, so things are constantly going to change. And you just got to go back to the basic and say, okay, what's next, Lord, universe? What am I here to do? How do I help myself heal? So the other I in that is intelligent. And insightful. So your spirit is very intelligent. So I didn't have to apply to CNN, get on there, become an energy healer. Dr. Oz introduced the segment. You can see it on YouTube under my name. It just happened. That's the intelligence of spirit. It's more intelligent than we are. So we don't have to plot and scheme and compete. The spirit will just lead us naturally, just like a leaf that falls on the floor and then moves up, or when things just kind of quote-unquote fall into place. That's how the intelligence of the spirit, it sees a higher purpose like a hawk into what we're supposed to do, but we got to listen. And then the last T is trust and truthful. Our spirit is very truthful. It tells us the truth about who we are, what we are, what we need to do, and we have to trust it, that it will lead us on our path to clear karma, to find our purpose and passion, and to be more at peace.
Yeah, great. Well, that's, I love that acronym. I was in my former life, in this incarnation, I was a corporate trainer, and we loved acronyms. I mean, we had an acronym for everything.
Right.
So when it comes to, you know, because I mean, it makes it easier just to recall, you know, the topics and it's just an easy way to learn, you know, and so. Well,
we're about halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to talk in a little bit of detail about, you know, a couple of the aspects, you know, that you just went through. And then I want to talk about knowing your gifts, different kinds of, you know, how that plays into, you know, honoring your spirit and all of that. So everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is Carolyn Coolidge, and we're talking about her book, Honor Your Spirit, Listen to Your Spirit, Find Your Purpose, and Walk Your Path. Again, you can find out more about Carolyn and the work that she does by visiting the website, www.intuitivesoulhealing.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back. Carolyn?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Okay, well, I want to recap and maybe just we can make a few more comments about the various aspects of spirit as you outlined. First of all, the synchronicity and sign. When you have found, you know, synchronicities in your life. You know, some people will just write them off as just being, you know, just the way that life is. You know, I mean, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So when you have found things that, you know, are synchronistic or signs in your life, do you, what do you do when they happen? I mean, is there anything you do to acknowledge that? And you know, have you found that there are times in your life when maybe you experience more or less synchronicity?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great question. Actually, I have my book, Honor Your Spirit, is how to work with the universe. And I believe once you start working with the universal dialogue of listening to the signs and following the synchronicities, you start developing your intuition and start realizing that the universe has been broadcasting your life path to you all along. You just have missed the signs. It's almost like changing it to a different station. Like if Earth is, you know, 67.3, you know, Spirit is 98.7. So you have to tune into the frequency of Earth. And of the spirit world, which is a different frequency. And the universe speaks in symbols because it doesn't really speak in words. And intuition is a language of symbols, and of signs. So, and usually the language of spirits, as it comes from another realm, is like a whisper. So you may hear a message, you know, God, you'd be a great counselor. And they hear another message, oh, you know, I can really talk to you. And then somebody else says, have you ever thought about being a therapist? And you're like, well, that's three times I've heard that in a week. That's a sign. So that's how you recognize the sign. They're usually repetitive, they're direct, and they give you a sense of, and you would feel in your body a sense of, ah, that makes sense. And then also you like doing it. So whatever your purpose is, you like doing it. But this it's really important to know that the universe talks in symbols. So that's why when you see those geometric shapes, they're symbols. They're not like words. You know, when God said, let there be light, I think he shot out a thought form, really. And then the thought form created into symbols, and it created into, you know, beings and earth. And there's so many different, you know, discussions on this. But we are energetic beings. Our spirit is energy. That if you look at the chakras, it looks just like a rainbow, which is really just energy, condensed energy. And that energy vibrates with tone. So that's why tone healing is so powerful, sound healing. That's why music helps move us to positive or negative actions, depending on the type of music. And that's why as our body is a barometer of that, we need to connect to a feeling tone. So if like we're meeting somebody and it feels weird, trust that. That might be your spiritual barometer, your spirit saying, no, that's not right. That's a sign or a symbol. If you feel like really happy, you get these butterflies in your stomach when you meet somebody and you're at a job interview and you're getting these chills all around, that chill is your spirit inside of you shaking, saying, that's it. You know, he's the one. So once we understand the language of spirit and connect to it, we're going to recognize it more and more. But those signs and symbols are really the synchronicities of how the spirit works. Now, any coincidence, a coinciding of an incident, that's the universe aligning the pathway that we need to be in. So think of your life as almost like I'm trying to think of a pinball machine. So when you hit a wall, it's not right, you go another direction. So when you hit a wall in the spiritual world, it's not right, you're going to feel there's going to be no signs, there's going to be no synchronicities, there's going to be nothing, it's flat. That's not the way you should go. When you take that leap of faith, which is usually going over your fears and moving forward to what feels right, then everything will start aligning, the right job, the right apartment, the right place. That's how you know where to go. We're literally supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. We're supposed to, you know, work with that that feeling of what feels right, what we're supposed to do, as opposed to what we think we should do. The thoughts and the egos are great for the earth plane, but our spirit and our soul and that feeling is really good when you want to follow a spiritual path. There are times of quiet, and that's when you go within, that's when you meditate and say, which way should I go next?
Yeah, exactly. Now, the P in the spirit acronym was for purpose and passion. One of the common questions that would kind of come in, you know, again, from listeners was the lack of passion, you know, and not romantic passion, but just the lack of something that gets you excited and you know, jumping up and down and ready to meet the day. I'm sure that, you know, if we know what our purpose is, then working toward that purpose, contributing to that purpose, would generate that, you know, that passionate, you know, feeling. But for someone who is listening, who just, you know, says, I just don't have it, you know, and I can't remember when I did last, you know, that kind of thing. Do you have any ideas for them on where could they start to see that, maybe to get that little spark or that ignition of passion?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Cause a lot of, I do the work stress group at a major HMO. It's an intensive outpatient, IOP, we call it, intensive outpatient program. And a lot of people, they're in jobs they can't stand, and but they have a passion. And I say, what's your passion? They say, I don't know. And I always figure it out for them. I say, everyone has a passion because I know everyone has a spark. I understand the language of spirits and intuition. So I ask them a couple questions. First of all, I say, if you won $5 million, it would be $1 million if we were in LA. But since we're in LA, I said, if you want $5 million, you got to, you know, do with the housing expenses and everything on the
damn
time.
Right.
Right, exactly. So I say, $5 million, what would you do? And they're like, I pay this off. I said, oh, no, all that's paid. You've done every, traveled the world twice. You've done everything possible. What would you do? And they're like, I don't know. And I, and then I said, come on, just go deeper. And they said, I don't know. I would, you know, build a house for the homeless, or I would help them. I said, why don't you volunteer with the homeless now? Because that's part of their passion. And they, like, because a lot of people don't do their passion because they think of financial. So they get down to the ego, the earth plane, bills, you know, being elderly, not having enough money, blah, blah, blah. But the universe is always going to supply you when you do your passion financially, because once you get into the spiritual aspect, you realize the universe is abundant. And abundance is that there's an abundance of money connections that will happen when you start doing your passion, because the universe is set up to help us fulfill our mission, period, the end. They send us here. God sends us here. He's going to give us anything, everything we need to make it happen. So then I ask them, you know, you have $5 million. What would you do? And I make them write it down. I also say, what did you want to do when you were little? Well, I don't know. I used to pretend I was a nurse or helping people, but I'm too sensitive. I can't do that, or I can't go to school. So I said, what else can you do to help people? And then we, like, figure it out. And it's usually people are afraid for financial reasons, or they don't have the school or the education. If people want to be counselors and they want to be a therapist, they don't want to get a master's, I said, why don't you, you know, be a coach? There's coaching programs online, some for $3,000, some for, you know, $300. So look to be a coach, and, you know, you're intuitive. And I always figure something else. I also say it in my book. I said, my book really gives a good overview of all this. Like, what are you hip to?
Mm-hmm.
Hip meaning, what are
mm-hmm.
your hobbies? What are your interests? What are your passions? And their hobbies or interests. I said, what do you find yourself looking at TV around a lot? What do you find like you would do if you, you know, you're just twiddling around? Oh, I like detailing cars. I buy parts for cars on eBay. I do this. I said, maybe instead of being a stock boy at Home Depot, you're supposed to be working on cars, you know? So I said, why don't you volunteer someplace? So there's a lot of different skills that people can do to figure out. So what do you find yourself drawn to? If you won $5 million, what would you do? What do people say in childhood that you'd be good to, or what are your gifts? Where do you feel yourself drawn of interest? And then what you start doing is you let the universe dialogue. Remember, I was in a program, Conservative Columbia, the oldest social work school, that says you're absolutely not supposed to do hands-on healing. You're not supposed to, you know, talk to people about their auras or do readings. So I did that on the side, and it wasn't until I was CNN that things were incorporated, but I've been slowly incorporating spirituality and mental health. I've been talking about chakras and energy fields and auras. I use the acronym for spirit, and it just worked out. It was the right time and the right place that the two people I was doing the program for right now in an intensive outpatient program, they love this stuff because we have a spiritual crisis. So
mm-hmm.
when I checked with the universe, they put it into place to make it happen at the right place and at the right time. Now, there's other people that were, like, against me, but then I would, you know, say, oh, like, that other job, and then she's like, oh, she's a witch. What is she doing? She's staging clients.
Right.
She's talking
uh-huh.
about essential oils. It's so weird. But the people kept calling for me. The people were
yeah.
applauding. I would get a 94 score with patient satisfaction. So even though it was against what the ego
right.
system of the universe said, the universe was telling me, no, this is what you need to do. So you got to listen to your heart. You got to practice by dialoguing with the universe. And July 17th, I have a book that's coming out. It's a workbook to my book. It's called, you know, the workbook to honor your spirit. But it's how to dialogue with the universe. And it helps you to write down these things, to practice them, to start putting out prompts and then journaling it back and back. And then once you develop that dialogue, you develop your intuition and you'll start hearing those prompts more clearly.
No, that's great. Well, I'm certainly going to remember the the HIT acronym, Hobbies, Interests,
yeah.
and Projects, when it comes time for talking about, passions and purposes. So that's great. Okay, well, there are a couple topics that were in the book that I kind of wanted to get to before we get to the end of the show. One of them is you talk about people understanding and knowing their gifts. And I think, that's just one area I think that people really don't spend a whole lot of time looking at, looking inward and maybe even recognizing, that they have gifts. Because I've talked to many, quote, average person who really maybe, just does the work thing and the kids thing, but doesn't really spend a whole lot of time with introspection, and I've talked to some people about gifts, their gifts, but they're like, huh? It's like I'm talking a foreign language, so can you talk a little bit about gifts, how the importance of what they are and understanding maybe the uniqueness of each of our gifts.
About each gift that's given to us when we leave the other side. I feel like everyone has a gift, and it could be just smiling. It could be being a good parent. It could be an artist. It could be a writer or being creative. And it's usually something, again, you like to do that you're good at. Sometimes gifts, though, are just being somebody's presence. Just being an ethical person and inspiring people that way. But your gifts, just like your purpose, will keep coming up over and over again. People will, like, for example, a lot of empaths, they find, these are very sensitive souls or very empathic, they'll find that they're hanging out with friends and everyone's dumping all their problems on this friend. They're always calling you. And they're asking you all these, or they're just dumping the problems, ask you all these questions, and then they feel better after they leave and you feel drained. That's usually an empath, and that's somebody who probably should be a counselor or a healer or somebody, a teacher could be. And then they have to learn skills to protect their energy, so knowing how to take care of it. Somebody could be really good, like one of my clients, she'd like to tell this story. She was working as a postal worker, and she was from close to gang life, tough girl. And she said, I don't know what my passion is and what my gifts are. And I said, well, what do you like doing? She said, nothing. I said, what are you passionate about? She said, I have a 5-year-old. I'm 28. I don't have time. And I said, well, what do you do on your downtime? She said, nothing. She goes, well, occasionally I'll take care of my dogs. And I said, okay, what do you do? She said, oh, I do dog hair grooming and I do other dogs' hair. And I said, how many hairs do you do on a weekend? She said, I don't know, about 10. I was like, 10? And she said, yeah. I said, well, how many animals do you have? And she said, well, I don't know, like 8. I'm like, including a ferret and a turtle. And I was like, that would be your passion or purpose. She goes, I can't make money doing that. I said, if you can, if you ask the universe. And I said, what's the connection between you being a postal worker and animals? She says, I don't know. And I said, well, what's the connection? Like, what do you like? She goes, well, I said, you're outside. And she goes, that's why you took that job. And she goes, oh, yeah, I like outside. And then I said, why don't you just ask? So she came back like several times, just thought I was just crazy and this is BS. So she asked the universe to show her a sign. She's walking in the hood. This hawk comes and hits her on the head. I call it, in my next book, I'm going to call it A Hawk in the Hood. And it just sat there on the ground and looked at her. And she knew everything about every cat, turtle, giraffe. She has all this information. I said, you're an encyclopedia. And I said, I call her Animal Kingdom. I said, how many other animals do you see? She goes, well, my grandmother has 5, my uncle has 7. I said, do you take care of all them? She goes, mm-hmm. I said, that's an Animal Kingdom. That's your gifts. And she said, no. So she kept asking, and then another hawk hit her on the head. And then she was doing her rounds, and then this cat jumped into her parcel that she does when she's a male woman, and it rattled around, and then the person who owned the cat said, well, Charlie hates people. I can't believe my cat, like, talked to you. That's weird. It sat in your container. And it was funny. So I was like, well, that's your gift. So then finally, after the third time going back and forth, she got a job at Petco, and she asked, besides the hawk, and they have full benefits. She has a son. And then her old boss called her and said, you know, I'm doing an animal grooming service. You want to be part of it? So there it was. So she's leaving the Postal Service. And I think it's beautiful because she's so good at it.
Yeah.
So that was her gift, and she never saw it. It was right there.
Yeah.
Everyone has a gift. It's what you're drawn to, what you go. Understand, ask about abundance, and then learn about abundance. So the universe is abundant, and then you'll start dialoguing with the universe. Let it give you signs and say, I need to make money. I have a kid. I need benefits. I need, you know, I pay two rents myself. And I was like, how do I pay two rents? And somebody always comes at the right time. I give discounts. You know, so it's just like you have to make this dialogue. The universe sent you here. The universe is going to take you out. So you got to ask them to help you when you need it. And
that's
to reveal your gifts.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's the one thing is that so often the answers are right in front of us.
We're
just kind of blind to that in a way.
Because we get programmed, I hate to say it, but a lot of times by TV, by media, by all these distractions that take us off our purpose. And that's why meditation is so good, because we become quiet, listening to our heart and our soul, not the kind of car they think you should have, or the kind of wife, or the kind of job, or the kind of house. Maybe some people like to live in the woods, in a cabin.
Yeah.
And that could be their, you know, and teach people about sustainable living. You know, it's.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's one more topic in your book. I mean, there's quite a few there that are obviously worth reading. But there's one that was unique that I had never heard before, a phrase called emotional sutures. And I thought, so maybe just a high-level view of what that is. I mean, to me, it's you know, I mean, I got the emotional idea and suture. I kind of figure possibly, but so what's that all about?
Yeah, well, that started when I worked. You know, part of working with the universe is I did whatever it said. So it wanted me to work on call in the ER, which I really hated as a social worker. But I realized that because doctors can be really harsh and direct and working very quickly, and I'm like, what the hell is spirituality doing here? But that's where they need it the most, because I saw so much abuse going on there and so much negativity and doctors screaming at patients and being, very talking down because they're so freaking arrogant and they think they're God, which is like against the universe because no one's God but God. But so then I would have to clean up their mess. So I realized the words are really powerful, and people have to watch what they say. And just watching, and sometimes I have to go clean up the mess, and the doctors say, okay, you're going to die in like 6 weeks, and I have to suture them with my words. So that's part of emotional sutures, like watching what you say, for yourself, but also, you know, for the other people as a therapist and a healer and intuitive, because words can shift and change worlds, you know, and words have vibrations and energy attached to them, but also to clean up doctors' mess. So suturing them up, I feel like sometimes when people go to therapy, they have an infection that needs to be cleaned and debrided and cleared, and then ointment is like a kind word, and then I do theta healing or energy healing, you know, sending them a symbol to help to get the infection down, and then I, you know, then I might give them a Band-Aid by saying something really positive about their spirit or their soul or by seeing their auras or energy. So I feel like it's a method that I've kind of incorporated. That's going to be my next book coming out, Emotional Sutures, but it's like, how do you help people that are, because words are powerful, that are really dire pain. So it's really about closing off these wounds emotionally. And people know emotional abuse is very severe and that you can shift people by your words. Yeah. And the spirit is the best suturing method, because our spirit, again, will bring us back to, why did this happen to me? Why didn't, like, you know, the woman had a mad, her daughter was killed, you know, she started mad, you know, mothers against drunk driving. So that was a suture for her emotional pain, that wound that was to me. So a lot of times your tragedies are part of your purpose or passion. You know, I almost died in the hospital. It helped me to be more sensitive to other people and what happens in hospitals. And then as a healer, I knew why God put me in a hospital, because I could understand what people were talking about, like why people weren't being healed because of all the multiple medications and everything else and the egoic doctors and whatever. So that was part of the process. So I remember just kind of suturing people by information, you know, spiritual information.
Yeah. I like that idea. Well, gosh, we're down toward the end of the show, Carolyn. So What do you, with Honor Your Spirit, what do you hope that the reader will take away from or gain from reading that book?
Great. I hope they can listen. And I'm in L.A., so everyone honors celebrities. And I said, we really need to honor our spirit, you know, because that's going to get you out of the cycle of karma. When you listen to what you're supposed to do, not what you think you're supposed to do, but what your heart and soul says, they'll learn how to dialogue with the universe. They'll learn that there's a reason for them being here. They'll get more intuitive. Their dreams will get more pronounced. They'll start living their purpose a little bit more. A lot of people have shifted. They'll become more abundant as they do their purpose. They'll start clearing off karma as they start clearing that seed that they came in. They're supposed to grow, whatever your purpose is. And all this stuff will start coming together. The answers will come to them with the right healer or teacher or book or job or, you know, video, whatever it needs to be. Things will start coming into play to put them on their path. So I hope when people read it, they feel inspired. And then the workbook comes out on July 7/7/17/17. It's going to help people to actually start doing that dialogue and to, you know, write things down, which brings it into the physical plane. So...
Great. Well, thank you, Carolyn, for your time today. I've really thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you. I've got some great acronyms added to my vocabulary, and very, very helpful ones, though. But I really want to thank you for your time. I've really enjoyed speaking with you.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Carolyn Coolidge. We've been talking about her book, Honor Your Spirit, listen to your spirit, find your purpose, and walk your path. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.